This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to the Strang Report podcast. Today, we're going to talk about something very important, and it's the upcoming midterm elections. And one of the things that I'm concerned about are the reports and the statistics that show that many people who believe the Bible, who go to church, who would consider themselves very strong Christians, don't even register to vote. And that is a great right that we have in our country. And then of those who are registered to vote, a lot of them don't show up at the polls. And we have a lot of very, very important elections that will be decided by who turns out the most people. And today I'm going to talk on my podcast with Pastor Greg Farrington of Destiny Church in Rockland, California. That's right outside Sacramento. And I've done podcasts with him before. He was very prominent during the whole COVID thing when Gavin Newsom shut down the churches in California. And maybe we'll talk about that. But he is also a very strong voice trying to get other people, other pastors, his own church people out to vote. So much so that the Sacramento Bee did a big story about it. So stay tuned for my conversation with Pastor Greg Farrington.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Stephen Strang, the founder of Charisma. This podcast is to encourage you to experience the power of the Holy Spirit and to discuss spiritual issues facing the church, our nation, and the world.
And say, welcome back, everyone. And Pastor, thank you for fitting me in. It took us a while to set up this podcast, but I interviewed you for my book on God and cancel culture and what happened during COVID, and I'm well aware of your ministry. You know, your church was not very well known, and then all of a sudden, all these other churches were shut down, and people started flocking to your church, and the media started covering you, saying all kinds of things like you were being a super spreader. And so tell us about that, and did it really turn out to be a blessing?
Yeah, you know, it's a pleasure to be on your podcast, Stephen. I appreciate the opportunity to just tell our story a little bit. And it was an amazing time as we took a stand. Our Governor Gavin Newsom, and I gotta tell you, we've tried to stop him here in California. I just know within my heart, he's going to be the Democratic nominee come in 2024. So he may be taking his policies to a national level, which are just terrible. But he shut down the churches and said that we couldn't have church. And we decided, no, we're not going to do that. And under a lot of threats, a lot of opposition, we kept our doors of our church open. And we saw miraculous turnouts as pastors just refused to open their doors. We opened our doors, and at first we were more cautious, but after a while we began to say, you know what? People are, you know, adults, they can take care of their own health challenges and things. So we opened up the door and we saw amazing amount of people flock to Destiny because they wanted a voice. It wasn't so much we stood against the governor. They wanted somebody that would speak from the pulpit, you know, what they were feeling inside, and calling sin, sin, and not calling evil good. So we've seen tremendous response over the last 2.5 years here at Destiny. One of the things that we couldn't even believe the response is when we offered religious exemptions from the vaccine. We had people parking and having to walk 20 minutes to get inside our church. We had thousands and thousands of people lined up outside of our church so they could get a religious exemption. And you know what? They worked.
And isn't it interesting that now they're saying that the vaccine isn't necessary? And also there's all these reports, you know, some pretty serious health issues that come from people who got the vaccine. I never got the vaccine for, you know, the reasons you'd understand. I didn't have to get a religious exemption. I live in what we like to call the free state of Florida.
Yeah,
our governor is the polar opposite of Gavin Newsom. I have a friend who lives in Southern California who calls him Newsom Leany, which I thought was kind of funny.
Yeah.
And, you know, you stood up to him, and the officials there in Northern California, they blinked. You know, you never went to jail.
No.
Rodney Howard Brown down here in Tampa actually was in jail for like 1 hour because this would have been like maybe the first week after the lockdown.
Yeah.
And of course, it went around the world. I've been told he was the first pastor in U.S. history to be arrested for the crime of holding a service. However, the officials here in Florida bent over backwards to undo that. Apparently, some crazy bureaucrat thought that, churches were not essential.
Yeah.
And the governor signed a thing that said no churches are essential. And so we never had all that. You know, of course, at first, we thought maybe it was like the bubonic plague and it was going to kill half the population.
Yeah.
But it became apparent fairly quickly that it was just a bad strain of the flu. And it's the only, you know, I talked about this before, it's the only pandemic in history where the healthy were quarantined.
Yeah.
Of course, the sick are always quarantined.
Absolutely.
And the elderly and other people that were so vulnerable, we need to take care of that. But why was it okay to go to Walmart, but not to church? Why was it okay to go to a marijuana dispensary or a liquor store, but you couldn't go to church? If any time you need to go to church is when you're under the kind of stress of not being able to see grandma when she's dying of COVID in the hospital and all the other bad things that were a result of that pandemic. But, I followed you. And as I said, I've reported on it before. But why do you think that Newsom was not recalled? Because when I heard that happen, I thought for sure. You had a governor a few years ago, I think his name was Davis, who was recalled.
Great.
How do you think that Gavin Newsom survived that?
You know, he's a very powerful man. And there's very few pastors. I call him out by name. I don't refer just to policies. I call him out by name from my pulpit. And I think we have his attention. But the reason why is because we have a complacent modern church. The modern church is satisfied with the status quo, and they don't think they belong in this political arena. And so they neuter themselves and say, you know, we don't have the voice in the political arena because we're not supposed to be there. And I don't believe that that is true. So we didn't recall Gavin Newsom because of churches, not because the mass of people that showed up who voted for Gavin Newsom, not at all. If we would have had just the turnout, the people who voted for President Trump here in California, we would have recalled Gavin Newsom.
That's interesting. Well, let's move on to this midterm election. In the midterms, whoever's in the White House tends to lose all kinds of seats in the House and Senate. The mainstream media is trying to poo-poo this and, you know, say that everybody's upset about the Supreme Court decision on Roe v. Wade. They're upset about other things. The economy is really better than everybody's saying. What do you think is going to happen in this midterm? And then maybe I should ask you what you're saying to your own people about going out and voting.
Let me start with the first one. The second question. We are strong on the Christian responsibility, the stewardship. God gave us this country. And I know people will say, hey, this is, America is not a Christian country. It wasn't a Christian country when it was founded. That's another debate. But believe that God gave us this country. We have a stewardship responsibility as Christians to vote. I mean, so we at Destiny actively register people right there at our church. I actually will stand up and say, if you're not registered to vote, why are you even here at our church? I believe very strongly that this is a mandate that we should be a part of culture and we should be involved in the political arena. If we don't, we've surrendered before the fight.
Well, I think that's very important. And what would you say to pastors who are timid, and many pastors are timid, to, you know, even use your own example for them to register people to vote? Because really we need to turn out tens and hundreds of thousands of people. You know, like what you said about the recall in California, which, you know, I only followed from across the country. But it's interesting that if just the Trump supporters had bothered to show up at the polls, he would, you know, his political career would have essentially been ended. Yeah. Why do you think people were so passive about that?
You know, it's really hard to even understand. I mean, we're not living in like the 1950s where, you know, apple pie, Chevrolet, everything's great. I mean, all you do is have to look at culture and you say, we've lost our minds. This is crazy. This is nuts. Chaos reigns. And so it should be a compelling argument for pastors and, you know, Christians, believers to say, I got to be involved. You know, we're going to hand something to the next generation. I refuse, at least in the area of my influence, to just be passive and compliant. I'm going to be vocal. I'm going to be loud. I'm going to speak on the issues. I'm going to challenge people to be involved. We have even one of our own staff members that has been on staff for 20 plus years. She ran 2 years ago for the school board trustees here in Rockland. And we unseated a liberal who had been on in that position for 25 years. And that's a good thing. That's not a political thing. That's a good thing that a church has that kind of influence that can say, hey, this person is not doing your kids right. This person will. And so I know there's the Johnson, you know, amendment. You got to be careful because you're going to lose your tax status. But I would say to pastors, who are you beholden to? Are you beholden to the state? Or are you called by God? Or is this a, you know, a vocation, or is this a divine call on your life? If it is a divine call, then I would challenge them to step out and use their voice and use their influence to make a difference in this political arena. Because I don't see things as political. I see them as biblical. I look at things through a biblical lens.
And that's how, of course, we should look at it. And, you know, politics is just our constitutional rights to elect the leaders at different levels of our government. And the other side, those who oppose everything that we believe in, and there are some who do that, they think that if you're traditional, you know, they should rally all of their other radical friends to get you out of office. But yet when the shoe is on the other foot, for example, they scream bloody murder and try to intimidate. It's intimidation, pure and simple. And the fact is that too many Christians are too easily intimidated. But I believe that the pendulum is beginning to swing the other way, just partly because things have been so bad for so long. I mean, the fact that anyone would even discuss the fact that a first grader should talk about changing their gender.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was a first grader, I didn't even know what gender meant. Yeah. And neither do these kids that are being fed this leftist, and it's not just political, it's more of a cultural, sexual kind of nonsense. And I, you know, I saw a lot of this coming in the 70s when I was in university, a lot of the beginning, but I'm just amazed at the speed in which it's happening. Yes. But we still have rights. We can still elect people who share our beliefs, whether or not they're believers. I mean, yes, I'm supporting several believers. There's a charismatic pastor who's running for the Florida State House in my district, and I'm doing everything I can to help him.
Sure.
I've known him for years as a pastor that would speak up on issues, and now, and he was actually voted onto a city council, and now he's trying to move up to Tallahassee. Yes, but really, I'll support anyone who shares my values. And also, in an election like the midterms, it's coming down to basically two people. One of the two people on the ballot is going to get elected. Period. It doesn't matter if you don't like either one of them. If nothing else, we have to vote for the lesser of two evils.
Absolutely.
And there are a lot of people who are not godly at all who will at least support our freedoms and our basic religious liberties. And I believe what happened during COVID was an all-out assault on religious liberties by people that really would like to get rid of the church. And suddenly they were able to use a health disaster to use governmental power to take away our religious freedoms. Somebody said that your constitutional rights do not end during a health crisis. No. They don't. No. And yes, we have to take care of things. We had a hurricane here in Florida just a week ago, and they put curfews on, get off the streets. But Walmart was shut down, the liquor stores were shut down, and the police were not even out in their patrol cars. I mean, it was a safety issue, and it was just for a matter of hours. But it looked to me like some of the governors, and it wasn't just Gavin Newsom, you know, New York, of course, yeah. and Michigan, and we could name some other places. They almost seemed gleeful to yeah. shut down the churches. What yeah. do you think?
Yeah, I mean, like I referred to, Gavin Newsom's running for president. And so he's already putting ads in other states, billboards, and he's quoting the Bible, which I think is ironic because he has no idea what the Bible says about abortion. He has no idea about loving our neighbor. He is a person who opposes the church at every step. And he's so arrogant about it. I mean, he's absolutely so arrogant about it. He still thinks that he has the executive order to be able to control, even though the Supreme Court says you can't. He still thinks, I can make the church do what I want them to do. He's that arrogant. And so it's going to take, you know, churches and pastors who say, I'm done. I'm finished. I'm not going to listen to really a tyrant, and I'm going to make a stand, and I'm going to use my voice. This whole concept, this whole doctrine of separation in church and state is so far from where our founding fathers had the intention. We left England because the state was controlling the church. We got here, and that whole thought of separation of church and state is because we didn't want the state controlling the church. And so now we have a governor like Newsom who stepped inside the church during the pandemic and said, I'm going to control the church. It's time for the church to speak up. It's time for the church to let their voices be heard and push back in any area that the government tries to, you know, dictate what the church should do. And I get back to this separation of church and state. The Sacramento Bee front page just 2 weeks ago, did an article on our church that we have crossed the lines of separation of church and state, that we have violated the Johnson Amendment, that our tax status should be taken away, and that, this is just a hit piece by the liberal media trying to silence a church in California that has enough courage to say, no, we're going to let people be aware of the issues. We're going to speak on the issue and get our people involved.
Well, that's so well said. And for those who don't know about the Johnson Amendment, I've written about this, I've covered it, I've looked into it, because it's a big bugaboo.
Yeah.
They trotted out, you know, the early colonies had official churches. Virginia, for example, was the Anglican Church. In Massachusetts, it would have been the Congregational Church. In Rhode Island, it was the Baptist Church, like they had in Europe. And they wanted religious freedom. They didn't want the government to say, okay, we're all going to be Anglicans or Catholics or whatever. Hurrah! It's allowed religious freedom. Pentecostalism would have never developed in the last century had there been an official church. But that's what separation of church and state means. And it's not a part of the Constitution. As you, I'm sure you know, it was in a letter from Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah.
To the Baptist in Danbury, Connecticut, over the issue. And people say that it's a constitutional right. It isn't.
No.
And the problem, even with the Johnson Amendment, Lyndon Baines Johnson was a horrible president, but he was a horrible senator before that. And he wanted to punish some nonprofits, they weren't even churches, that had opposed him. And only one church has ever been found guilty. One.
Wow.
Since 1954,
wow!
You have more of a chance of being hit by a car in front of your house than you do to lose your tax exemption over the Johnson Amendment. Yeah. But yet they trot this out and they make all the pastors afraid. But okay, what does the tax losing your tax exemption? It means that your tithers can't write off their donation on their income tax.
Right.
big deal. Yeah. There are a lot of countries that don't give that.
Yeah.
And maybe a handful of people would quit giving. But, you know, my wife and I have tithed all our lives, of course. But I don't give in order to get a tax exemption. Absolutely. And I think most of the people who give don't do for that reason. What do you think?
I agree with you 100%. And I think it almost would, I don't want it to happen, but I think it could be a good thing for the church. I really do. I think it could be a chance for the church to say, you know what? Let's forget all the other incentives. Let's give to God and allow God then to open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that we can't contain. So I'm not saying, hey, take that tax exemption away. But I do think then we have a chance to honestly and purely give our tithes to the Lord and allow him to bless us. We know that he does when we honor God that way.
Absolutely. And as we close this short podcast, I want to circle back around to the midterms. You know, there's a lot of issues on the ballots. It differs from state to state. There's all kinds of things about our out of control spending and other policies, and then of course our freedoms. I think most Christians are going to, you know, be sane when they go to the polls and vote. So what can you say to encourage those who are watching and particularly other Christian leaders to encourage them to get off their sofa and go to the poll? Early voting, which is a whole different issue because it can be corrupted so easily with, you know, fraudulent voting. But that's a discussion for a different day. But anyway, it's easy to vote. It's easy.
It's not,
even if you can't drive to the polls, there are other ways to vote. So encourage people to get out and vote.
You know, the gospel is much like America. The gospel changes the world one person at a time. And I believe America can be changed the same way by Christians, conservatives, pastors who take the responsibility of saying, hey, God gave us this great land of America. We're going to steward it. We're going to register the vote and we're going to go out and vote. And one by one by one, if we would do that, you know, the evangelical vote in America could be so substantial. If we would take it as a spiritual responsibility that we must steward. So I would encourage any pastor who is intimidated, who feels like we don't belong in this arena, I would challenge them to say, you know what, that day, that opportunity is gone. That might have been so, you know, 40 or 50 years ago. This is a critical moment in America's history. We'll lose America. We'll lose Western civilization if we as believers and pastors don't stand up and speak out and use our influence, just going to the polls and using our church as a place to help people see right from wrong. And so that's what I would just say. It's our responsibility.
Well, thank you for being so articulate. Thank you for being so bold. And this is a message that we need to share. I encourage my listeners and viewers to share links on social media, talk it up among your friends, encourage your friends in your circle of influence to register to vote and to vote.
Yes.
It may be too late in a lot of places to register now, although I think some states let you walk in the door and register
almost
on the spot. But my point is that we need to get out and vote. And so let's close this podcast. Would you pray? Would you pray for America? Would you pray for the churches? Would you pray for God's will to be done to really turn the direction of this country at a very important time?
It'd be a pleasure. Heavenly Father, we need your help. We are in desperate need of your help here in America. I ask, Lord God, that you would empower men and women of God who lead your church, that you would give them the boldness of a Daniel, that you would give them, Lord God, the boldness of a Peter on the day of Pentecost. I pray that you would infuse them with a sense of responsibility and that you would allow them to have the opportunity to influence the people that they pastor. And I pray for every church member. Everybody will hear this podcast. Would you bless them, Lord God? Would you encourage them? I believe, Lord God, that you are doing something so powerful in America, that we sense the winds of revival, Lord God, and would revival not only shake the house of God, I pray, Lord God, it would shake the culture of America, and we could again say, God bless America. We pray this in your powerful name. Amen.
Thanks again for being in my podcast. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Stephen Strang. Stay up to date with the latest episodes by subscribing on your favorite podcast app and at cpnshows.com. Get the latest reports delivered directly to your inbox by subscribing at strangreport.com. Our Charisma Podcast Network listeners receive a 10% discount when you subscribe. Go to mycharismashop.com and use the promo code CPN.